All right, we have our little Pet Chat ladies back for us today. Dr. Fiona.
How are you, Mark?
And you're even in costume today. You've got your vet scrubs on ready to go.
I wear two hats on a Wednesday these days.
That just shows you how keen you are to delve into the pet issues.
Absolutely.
And Cheryl Shaw, whereas, yes. G'day, we're always on Broach Watch to start with you.
Okay, what do you think?
It looks like a little Smurf village house. Is it a mushroom or something?
It is. We're going to be talking about fungi today and the dangers for our pets.
All right. In the meanwhile, a tough call. In the meanwhile, Cheryl, let's get into the fungi.
Yeah. Look, it's the time of year, autumn, where we find that there's a lot more fungi happening. The reason is that we tend to have cooler soils at this time of the year, and also the moisture content is higher, and particularly the last couple of weeks, we've got a lot of moisture around.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And don't the mozzies just know it?
Oh, absolutely. They're all still out there, very ferocious. But with the problem with our fungi is that one of the things, cats and dogs are really into it. If they go into the yard, they're likely to usually smell it first, because a lot of fungi give off odour, particularly those stinkhorns. They try to attract insects so that there's insects around them. But what happens with the dog in particular, the dog will smell that fungi and go toward it, particularly if it smells like curry and it's that rotten meat. It's very,
delectable for a dog,
delectable,
I guess.
But those rotten
they
smells.
They eat worse.
They do. But our trouble is that these fungi can cause lots of issues. Some are obviously not so toxic, but there are some that can kill, like the death cap. That's a real bad one. So we need to make sure, if you've got fungi growing in your yard, that you remove it. Now, don't make the mistake of going along and just kicking it over and thinking, oh, well, that'll just die. Make sure you pick it up and put it in a bag and dispose of it. And that will also help prevent some of the spores from reproducing in the next season, because that... the problem is that the mycelium lays in the ground, and given ideal conditions, it will start to activate. So if we minimise the amount we've got in our yard, then the potential for another sprouting of mushrooms or fungi are going to be a little bit eliminated. But if you see your dog sniffing at anything like that, particularly the puff, you know those ones that sort of, they just look like little brown puff balls, and when you touch them, they explode. Those ones can be really dangerous, the puffballs for dogs in particular, or on cats, because what happens when they puff, they just sort of explode. That all of the little spores go into their nasal cavity and so then into the lungs. So we've got to be really careful. So particularly with those, they're not usually eating those, but they're causing a problem from the aspiration. So making sure that you try to eliminate those in your yard. And it's not just in your yard that these things are happening. Often when you're going for a walk, you'll see them along the verge, or if you're going in the bush, you'll see them, because these will grow in leaf litter, they'll grow in any soil. So we just need to be mindful where we're going. So if you're going in the bush at this time of the year, it's often a good idea to keep your dog on a leash, just so that you've got a little bit more control and you can see what they're doing. But if you do suspect that your dog has eaten some, immediately it's important to go to the vet. It's because you want to make sure that you get on top of this. You need to treat it a little bit like an emergency, because the sooner that we get onto treatment, and you have to get onto a fairly aggressive treatment, that we can deal with it. That would be the case, wouldn't it, Fiona, that you get to the vet pretty quickly?
Yeah, definitely. And also another bit of helpful information, if you know what sort of mushroom it is, maybe take a photo.
Yeah.
Or pick it up and put it in a plastic bag without touching it yourself.
Yeah. They say not to put it in plastic. One of the things that happens when a mushroom goes into plastic bag, it starts to deteriorate really quickly, because a mushroom is 90% water.
Paper bag.
And keeping it a little bit moist. If you just, if that paper bag, if you just put at the bottom of the paper bag a wet paper towel, something like that, so that it's actually not going to deteriorate any further. Mm. Because there's some really good apps that the vets have that they can go and check out what is what that type is. Because unless you know, some really do mimic a healthy type eating mushroom, and others can be really toxic.
And it can be, sorry to interrupt, Cheryl, it can be very non-specific too.
Yes.
Maybe there isn't the history of having eaten a mushroom, but maybe there's, you've had so much wet weather like we have, or the owners have noticed mushrooms in the backyard. It's got to be something you keep at the back of your mind as a potential differential for if a pet's unwell.
And there's a lot of different symptoms that can show, and sometimes they can be almost immediate, and other times they can take quite a few days to come through. So like you said, making sure that if you think that your dog has had something, that you the photograph, taking it with you. But it's just so important to realise that, you know, your dog can eat mushrooms. Say if you drop a champignon on the floor in the kitchen, that's going to be safe because it's usually safe for you. But some of these other varieties are so deadly, and it's really important that we understand it's not just something that we can just brush off. We need to be, you know, vigilant when we're out and about with our pets.
And if you don't know, just make sure they don't get anywhere near it.
Pretty much if it grows in the backyard, it's a no-no.
It's a problem. If it grows in the backyard or is deposited in the backyard, it's a no-no.
You know that marsupials can eat fungi, and they seem to know the right ones to eat, and they'll leave the other ones alone.
Yeah, wow, that's cool.
Yeah, but the dogs and cats, they're not quite that.
So if you've got a koala in the backyard, in the gum tree, watch what they're eating and leaving alone, maybe.
Yeah.
All right, thanks, Cheryl. There is a couple of minutes available for you if you'd like to call through. Cheryl Shaw is here, as is Dr. Fiona. And ladies, you mentioned earlier cooling down and all of that. And I know for me, particularly in the morning, it is so hard to get a decent mug of water into you. You're just not into it. And I'm guessing our pets, considering that's the main thing that we have them drinking, yeah, unless they're up having a glass of wine with you at the end of the night, it's
which,
really water.
Which is a no-no, by the way.
It's a no-no. Exactly.
Just to clarify.
How do we get them to sort of, this is, drink more of this, please?
Yeah, look, that's a good point, because often as the weather cools off, as you say, Mark, we don't really desire to drink as much water, and I'm sure our pets are the same. Cats are tricky because they just have their own set of rules.
They just do whatever they want.
You can put the cat at the water bowl 50 times a day and it's probably not going to do anything. A couple of suggestions I always give to people: cats tend to like drinking running water instead of still water. You'll often find that they'll choose to go to the bottom of the shower, or they'll lick the water out the bathtub or the sink, or if they find a dripping tap, they'll sit there and drink it. So they tend to like running water. So a tip, if you don't feel like leaving your sink running, then you can get little battery-operated water fountains.
I've seen these things, pretty cool.
Obviously, cats like them because the water's moving, but it's just water, but it's moving water.
Yeah.
So it's therefore more exciting.
And also, but part of why they like that moving water is because if water lays stagnant, they know that they can get poisoned.
More bacteria, so that's
why they like that.
So
moving.
They're actually smart.
Yeah, they are. Making us
Us humans give them running water.
They really have a large brain to headspace smartness ratio, don't they? Really.
They are their own set of rules, that's for sure.
That's why they're the best animals. Yeah.
And I did actually have a client come in to me last week who say that he had been told to give his cat milk as a way of increasing its water consumption. And I think I did correct him in a couple of different ways. In theory, yes, it's definitely going to increase their fluid volume because cats will choose to drink milk over water every day of the week. But a couple of tweaks that I suggested to him is, rather than giving the cat milk, maybe add a teaspoon of milk to the water so that you're flavouring the water and the cat will be more likely to drink it, but also making sure that it's lactose-free milk rather than regular milk, because sometimes they can have a bit of a gastrointestinal upset.
I think I've just put cats back into the weird category, because I can't imagine a glass of water with a teaspoon of milk in it. Tea notwithstanding, but just regular water. I just can't see that being tasty.
Look, they have their own set of rules, as we've said. But yeah, that'd be a couple of suggestions.
All right, sounds pretty good. 4921 6216 to connect with our Pet Chat team today. G'day, Dorothy at Fletcher. You've done just that. What's going on with your dash hounds?
Oh, I've got two little brothers, 4-year-old, same litter.
Yep.
And I am beside myself. I have tried everything to stop these dogs from weeing inside. It's not like they were never toilet trained.
Okay.
They can go outside, but I come up of a morning and I can clean up easy 6 places that they've weed.
Yeah, okay. Is this is it overnight, Dorothy, or is it during the day as well?
It can be any time at all, but especially at night time. I'll come out. And I have had the enzyme spray, you know, that you wash the floor.
Yes.
I've gone through all my detergents and got rid of anything that's got the chlorine or the bleachers and all that sort of thing in it.
Okay.
What have I tried lately? It's been spraying with vinegar and water. That's
stopped them for a little while. Mm-hmm. They've got now got used to that. And they're just getting worse.
Okay. Are they de-sexed, Dorothy?
Yes, yes.
Okay. And have they always done it, or is it a new thing?
They stopped doing it when they were de-sexed.
Mm-hmm.
For about 18 months.
Okay.
And then it's and I've never caught them.
Yeah,
I've never
okay.
been able to catch them doing it. You just spell it. There it is.
Okay. And have you got carpet or tiles? What's the surface that you're dealing with?
I'm dealing mostly with tiles, but they have been in my bedroom on the carpet.
Okay. Do they have a a spot that they prefer to go, Dorothy?
Not really.
Okay. And can you take... Can you take them outside and they'll happily do a wee outside?
Yeah, they've got a doggy door they can come in and out of.
Okay.
And they will wee in front of that doggy door.
Inside?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, overnight, what are the sleeping arrangements, Dorothy?
They're with me.
In your bedroom?
Yeah. I make sure they go out before we go to bed.
Okay.
They happily run outside and they happily wee. And come back inside.
Mm-hmm.
They'll even go outside and come back in and wee.
Yeah, okay.
And I have seen that. It's not like they haven't been. I've watched them. They will wee and then just come back inside and wee.
Are they both culprits, do you know, Dorothy, or is
yep.
it? Yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah, there's too much wee there just for one.
Okay. All right. Look, essentially, Dorothy, they have trained themselves to think that your house is the toilet. Unfortunately. So what it involves is retraining them that we don't go to the toilet inside, we go to the toilet outside. Now,
lots
it's
of praise.
Yes, yes. So lots of praise, definitely no negatives, no yelling, no rubbing their nose in it, those sorts of things just don't work. If they are inside and not actively being supervised for you, I would be putting them in a crate. Okay, because if you aren't seeing them and aren't catching them in the act, you're on the back foot.
Yeah.
Whereas if they're in a crate, if their beds are nice and comfy in there and they're sort of like it's a happy place, it's not a punishment place, when they're in that crate, if it's their bed, they're unlikely to do a wee in that space.
Yeah.
So what you need to be doing is really putting them in the crate and then every hour taking them out to the spot on the grass that you want them to toilet. And then whether it's a treat, whether it's praise. Basically treat them like a toddler who you're doing toilet training with and just back to basics, Dorothy.
Oh.
Yes. Okay. I do apologise. There's nothing more magic than that. If you're not having success, then it might be, you know, either a chat to a local dog trainer or a chat to your vet. But I think it's just back to basics, I'm sorry to say.
All right, best of luck with everything there, Dorothy. And it's the words that one does not want to hear from their vet, that the dogs have trained themselves to think that your house is the toilet.
Oh, there's no nice way of saying it, Mark.
It is what it is. Fair enough. All right, we'll move on here. G'day, Marianne at Morissette. You have a question for our team today. What's happening, Marianne?
Oh, hello. Hello, Mark.
Howdy.
Yesterday when I was listening to Kev Kellaway on his drive show, he mentioned that because of the excessive rain that we've had, plus a little bit of warmish sort of weather, that a new condition, if you like, dogs, their owners, maybe cats and their owners, are suffering from a condition to do with roundworm?
Yes. Yes.
Is that right?
And yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the condition is called ascariasis.
Okay.
And what so caused by roundworms.
Right.
But I guess what I would say to ease your mind, Marianne,
yes,
is roundworm is something that is treated in all your gastrointestinal cat and dog wormers.
Okay. Ah, thank you.
So any pet, cat or dog, should be treated regularly with an intestinal wormer.
We do that.
And, double check on the packet if you're worried, but all our good branded intestinal wormers will be treating for roundworm.
Oh, sounds like it's all covered there.
Provided the animals are being wormed, absolutely.
Yeah, which Marianne, you did say, so
yes,
well done.
Yes.
Cheryl Shaw still here, as is Dr. Fiona. They're ready to answer your pet questions. One of which, a bit of a theme we've had today with the weather, I guess, and still a lot of wet conditions around, damp, not really warm, and
so much rain.
Yeah, and that can be a bit of a problem keeping our dog. We want to keep them dry.
Muddy feet, yuck.
Yeah. Sometimes the pets can end up with, you know, quite a bit of dermatitis between their feet, you know, muddy feet, muddy paws, just constantly being wet. So it can be more of an issue than just mud on the carpets.
just making sure that when your dog does come inside with wet feet that you get a towel or something and wipe them really well. That'll stop them from licking their feet as well. So that's a really good thing because that actually can become a really big habit. It's self-soothing, so then they lick more and it just keeps going. So, yeah, making sure their feet are nice and warm just to prevent those issues coming through.
Definitely.
All right, 4921 6216, that's how you get in contact with our Pet Chat team today. Time to move on to our Cat and Dog of the Week. If you're looking to expand your family, Cheryl, what about this for a cat?
Oh, that is an absolutely gorgeous cat. Love this cat.
She's very pretty.
Even if you're not into expanding your family, just jump up onto the website so you can see the photo in the middle. There are three photos. The one in the middle, gorgeous black cat. I reckon those eyes on this photo look almost gold.
They are exquisite. Yes. Anyway. Miss Katniss.
Katniss.
Looks like a great addition to a family, I'd say.
And unfortunately, because of she's the black cat, the superstitious people out there, I don't want her, but she's gorgeous.
Oh, surely the gold eyes might offset the black colour, maybe in terms of bad luck. Yeah. I reckon that's pretty good luck, those eyes.
Yeah, a little beautiful. Bit. Yeah, it's always the eyes that get you. Always a little quiet and shy at first. Loves a stomach rub, but of course, as with any cat, as we learned earlier, it's kind of on their terms.
Very much so.
Hasn't met dogs yet, so just keep that in mind as well. As we move on to the dog side of things, Charlie, 2-year-old Spoodle, and some nice photos of him there, gang, doing his thing.
I reckon he's got plenty of potential for the right owner. It looks like a good size.
Yeah.
Things to keep in mind when we're looking at those little, I call them handbag dogs.
I don't think Charlie would fit in a handbag.
No, but he's a little dog. I mean, things to keep in mind with dogs in that persuasion.
Okay, one of the things, Charlie's actually going to need grooming, so that's going to be a consideration. Whoever buys Charlie will need to factor in some grooming for him. He looks like a really cute little dog though.
And he does like to cuddle with people, so that'd be nice. If you're looking for a really good companion dog, it's probably the proper way to describe him, I'd say.
Yeah, and I guess with little dogs, as you're talking before, Mark, little dogs can fit through smaller holes. So if you've got a fence that's maybe big dog proof, just double check it's little dog proof as well. And I think there is a comment there that Charlie may need a bit of a higher fence. So just something to bear in mind with all dogs, really.
Yeah.
You need to have a yard that's going to keep them contained.
And the other thing to keep in mind is that he does not travel well in the car. So regular road trips might not be the ideal for Charlie. Anyway.
Not for Charlie.
Brand new dog and cat for you. Head up to our Pet Chat page. You can check out the dog and the cat of the week at 2NURFM.com.au. Only a couple of moments left, so we've probably got room for one more call. Cheryl Shaw is here, as is Dr. Fiona. A little bit of housekeeping as we wrap up today, ladies, particularly a couple of points you wanted to bring out for us, Fiona.
Yeah, well, as our caller before talked about roundworm, I just thought it was a good opportunity to maybe refresh and remind people what preventatives there are out there and what we should be using on our pets. So roundworm, which was the worm we discussed, there is one of the intestinal worms. So a lot of what I'll talk about now is applicable to cats and dogs. So there are four main intestinal worms that we need to cover, which is roundworm, hookworm, tapeworm and whipworm. All our good brand intestinal wormers will cover all four of those, depending on the formulation you get, either monthly or 3-monthly, but essentially you got to read the packet because all of them are slightly different and you want to make sure that you're treating at the appropriate interval for that product. So that's your wormers. Then fleas and ticks are another category, which are particularly important, very much so in Newcastle. There's a small window where in winter, we don't tend to see a lot, but year round we should be protecting them. I have previously treated a cat that was 100% indoor cat for tick paralysis. So the cat never went outside, but it still got tick paralysis. So there are so many great products out there that do fleas and ticks and a lot of these other things all in one. So you're better off just picking a product that does everything. A lot of them you can get either a chewable tablet for dogs and also a spot-on for dogs or a spot-on for cats. So lots of different options for protection. And then we've also got heartworm. So heartworm sounds like it would be an intestinal worm, but it's actually something that's spread by mosquitoes. So it the larvae, the little microscopic larvae within the blood can be injected by a mosquito bite, and then the larvae will complete its life cycle within the cat or dog, and end up, you can end up with big long worms within the heart. So that can become a really big issue. But essentially, yeah, so we've got three categories we need to protect against. We've got intestinal worms. We've got what we call ectoparasites or outside parasites, which is your fleas and ticks, and then your heartworm as well. So there's lots of great products out there that will actually do all of them.
It's an ongoing battle, isn't it, really?
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of our old school products, there is a bit of resistance to them. I'm not a fan of much of the stuff that gets sold in the supermarket. I just don't think it works. As I think we have a lot of resistance to those particular drugs, but a lot of the new products are pretty fantastic.
In other words, if you're going to do a job, do it properly.
That sums it up nicely, Mark.
And I think that compliance is really important as well.
Definitely.
This is where often people fall down. They just forget, or they think, oh, I haven't seen any of these, you know, fleas or whatever, and they just choose not to do it for 1 month or maybe longer, and that's just where we can run into some problems. So, you know, your compliance or making sure you're, you know, giving your pet these products is really important.
Definitely, and that's probably most applicable, I would say, for heartworm, the one that's spread by mosquitoes. Because if you lapse in cover, even for just a month or a couple of weeks, potentially if you get a mozzie bite your pet in that time period, that can be enough to start that life cycle. So if you think you're the type that really you're not great at remembering those monthly products, there is actually an annual injection that we can use for dogs for heartworm, which might be more up your alley if you're less inclined to remember.
Yeah, but they've got a treat for the fleas and ticks anyway. I just think it's easy just... some medication, and away you go.
Pop it on your calendar. Yep. Make sure you've ticked it off. It's a
no pun.
No pun intended. I missed that one. Well done, Mark.
All right, that's what I'm here for. All right, a couple of things to keep in mind. Thank you, ladies. We'll catch you next time, Dr. Fiona and Cheryl Shaw, as we wrap up Pet Chat for you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.